Welcome to Starfleet Boy, where we have a casual and informal discussion about our beloved series, Star Trek. Exciting episode of Starfleet Boy, where we have a casual and informal conversation about Star Trek. That's right. Star Trek The Next Generation is what we're focused on. But today, we are going to have a summit of sorts, like a discussion slash reaction about the Star Trek Discovery Season 2 trailer, Part 2, second trailer, and the Star Trek short treks. So we'll do the trailer first because I'm most excited about that, and then we'll do short treks afterwards. So starting with the trailer, first of all, let me introduce my guest. I'm in a hurry, guys. So I'm very pleased to be joined by Sean from Trek on the Tube. Troop. I always want to say troop.
Trek on the Troop.
Troop. Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy.
Good.
I enjoyed the trailer, so I'm happy.
That's good. Now you feel like I did when I found out about the Picard show. And then we're also joined via long-range subspace channels all the way from the Delta Quadrant. We can only get a voice this time. It's Trekkie Rob. Rob from Trekkie Rob. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Very good. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It has.
I think you were on the last summit, weren't you?
Yeah, we bring out the big guns for the summits.
Yeah, it's true. Except we don't have Nick or Gary, but they're always in our they're like red angels watching over us. Okay. All right, so I guess I could just start. I really liked the trailer a lot more. I was excited by the first trailer for season two, just because it seemed like the promise of something different. Maybe I don't know. And then Chris Pike, Captain Pike is awesome. And then when I saw this, I was just like my head exploded, and like just like so much Star Trek feels was coming out of me during it. And especially since we got to, I don't know why this is so awesome, but we saw Klingons with hair. And I went apeshit over it. And then I saw the D7 or the D7 Battlecruiser, and I was like, oh, there is a real one out there. It's here. It's in this universe. So that just shot that got me on overload as far as that's concerned. And also, to finish it off, guys, I found my husband, my future husband.
Lumberjack
Spock. Yes. I'm very excited about Lumberjack Spock. So we got everything. They didn't really, like, if they gave us this much in the trailer, I'm, like, just really excited to see what's actually in the season.
It's crazy because, there isn't even Tig Notaro in the trailer. There's so many things. There's the guy that, what's his name? I forget his name, but the guy that gave the black badge to Georgiou in the first place, he supposedly has a role to play in this season, and he's not in the trailer, so apparently they've got a lot more to deliver on as well.
Yeah, so either of you guys want to do a trailer kind of breakdown of it? And Rob, what are your thoughts, initial thoughts first?
Yeah, I think it's packed full of things. It was, it's hard to know where to begin, really. Pike's awesome, Georgiou's back. It's cool seeing the D7 cruiser. I kind of suspected you guys might be really happy about the hair.
I don't know why it's such a big deal.
Who knew hair could please so many people?
Gene Roddenberry said no one would give a damn about hair in the future. He was wrong.
I know people freak out about the hair, but it's not so much the hair, because if you look at the makeup of Laurel, it's a lot lighter. I mean, they have a lot less heavy prosthetics. If you compare it to like an image from season one, the double nostrils are less protruding. You can't see her hideous ears. And she has less makeup, like less prosthetics on her cheeks and on her mouth. It looks like she'll be able to speak better. I think the actors are going to have like a better time acting. And
you know, those ears might be really attractive to another Klingon. Maybe. That, you know,
but they don't look like Worf's ears, so.
Worf doesn't have ears.
True. We've never seen them.
His ears are like, I think hair grows out of Klingon ears as well. But anyways, Rob, you're right. Where to start? I guess we could just start by breaking it down. So the trailer opens with just a bunch of, Pike's narration, you know, talking about how, like, he doesn't leave anyone, no one gets left behind, and it was a really cool thing. and then interspersed throughout that, you get like a couple of images. You get like the Burnham or like a bunch of people on an asteroid. And then did anyone like, I have to say, I haven't paused the trailer like and like really like dived into it, but do you see like the wreckage of a ship on this asteroid or something like that? Did anyone see what it was? Was it like the Europa? No,
I'm assuming it's like the Hiawatha. I think that's how you pronounce it. I apologize.
Hiawatha.
Okay. Hiawatha. Yeah. I'm assuming that's the ship, because that's the ship they've been talking about, and that's where they kind of end up. I think that's where they save Chief Engineer Tig Notaro, or what's she called? Reno?
Oh.
Reno.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that'll
be it. Okay, so the Hiawatha.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's a cool reference to Pacific Northwest stuff, I think. Like Native American Pacific Northwest.
I apologize for saying it wrong a second time, because I said it wrong the first time on my in one of my videos, and someone corrected me.
Hiawatha. I only know that because there's a Hiawatha place in Seattle, and I used to frequently be on that in that place. I didn't see any chief engineers there, though. But
no, they didn't reveal that.
And then you get like kind of, I guess, the introduction to the story about the Red Angels, and funny enough, as you indicated, Sean, that's what you just kind of were calling it, and so you were really pleased to hear that they're actually being called the Red Angels. And we get another, during that sequence, we get, you know, more information about them. Like there's that little graphic that's changing, and you can see that there's like they're trying to identify species with wings perhaps or something like that in some kind of database. And then you get shots of like Sarek sitting on pillows. You get shots of you know, what might be pain sticks, and like Laurel either, you know, being subdued in some way or something like that. And then I couldn't see her hair. Did anyone actually see that she has hair now? Because like that's what everyone's saying.
She
has black hair.
Nice.
And she was being, I think, like, so he has this Cole-looking dude. He's got like white hair, and he looks kind of battle-worn. He has this energy weapon that he's discharging at both Laurel and Tyler.
Oh, it's Cole's father, probably.
Maybe.
No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe.
You never
cold.
Know. Because he does have that kind of
but, diamond. But he's got the same face paint. So it's from the same house, at least. But yeah, he's discharging a weapon on both Laurel and Tyler. So maybe they're getting in trouble for whatever reason, for, you know, betraying the Empire or becoming human.
It looked a lot like a lightsaber, that thing.
It did. It did look like a Darth Maul's lightsaber.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like Darth Maul's lightsaber, but unstable like Kylo Ren's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, did.
Oh, yeah. Could it be like a batlet thing or whatever?
I think it's more like
with lasers.
It's like a cross between a Klingon pain stick and a Ferengi energy whip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if they're pain sticks, don't they use those at wedding ceremonies? I'm not sure I'd want that.
Oh shit, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, shnikes, that's a really good point.
Wow. Okay.
Well, they did in DS9 anyway.
So. That's interesting. I didn't think of that.
Maybe they tone it down anyways, in the future.
So there's that Spock needs our help sequence where he has a vision in the trailer. And with the Red Angels. And you see, like, Burnham in some wreckage, which she's seen before, she says. So maybe it's, like, it could be a flashback to the Shanzo, or it could be something that happens, you know, within the first episode or something like that. But I think the implication is that it's before her time on Discovery, in my mind. And then, let's see... You get awesome scenes of... Well, that's when you see the Klingons. We already talked about that. Then they reveal Emperor Georgiou, and she shows her black Section 31 badge. And then there's that cute moment between her and Captain Pike, and there's going to be a lot of humor, I think. And then you get, like, more adventure, more running, more spaceships. and then Stamets is looking down what seems to be the throat of some weird creature. Then you get Rebecca Romijn Stamos as number one. Ah, your wives.
I'm watching X-Men. What's that? I'm watching X-Men right now, so I've been getting a lot of her. X-Men 1, 2, and 3.
That's awesome. And then what else do you get? Is that it? Did I cover everything?
But then you finish off with Bearded Spock.
Oh my god, my favorite. That's right.
He blanks out when he thinks about Spock now.
So the internet seems to be generally pleased with the with the trailer as well. I saw a lot of reactions online that were fairly positive. I don't know. I guess there's nothing really to complain about, but there is a lot to talk about, which is I guess we could go into like the speculation portion. What the hell do you think is happening in season two, guys?
Well, what's this Red Angel thing? Have we heard any more about what this? Because it's some kind of vision that Spock's had, and Burnham has it too. Mm. So,
and Spock's been having it since he's a child, right? So
okay,
right. So essentially, they were talking about the theme of the season being science versus faith, and I was very afraid that, you know, people were talking about Romulans with the red kind of poster, and then some people were talking about the Iconians, and it looks like they're going in a completely new direction, and they're showing us like this almost godlike being, like this divinity kind of creature, which would be the Red Angel.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it could be something as far-fetched as like this is a Q-level entity trying to, you know, warn everyone in the universe about something. And
some of the information that was coming out of the New York Comic-Con, Rob, I think they were retweeting it on the Star Trek channel, said that the Red Angels are what those red things are going to be the whole, like, the arc for the whole season. Yep. So it's going to be the big mystery of the whole season.
That's the big mystery. For now, I'm going with something maybe as I would say as basic, but as something like, I don't know, this Red Angel is where it's not supposed to be. It's found itself in our dimension or in our universe or something, and it's trying to get home. And maybe like the Red Burst is some sort of way of communicating or something. Because ultimately, if this is Star Trek, it won't be about fighting it, it won't be about killing it, it'll more be about trying to understand it and then helping it hopefully get home. Yeah. Or help, you know, helping learn something. So yeah,
I think the Red Angel is going to explain a lot about perhaps, in my hope rather I should say, is that it will explain a lot about why Discovery is so different, you know, in terms of its like the level of technology. Not just forget about like the visual reboot and everything, like, let's, you know, we've already all kind of, I think, hopefully resigned to the fact that, you know, it's just different, right? Even though it's set in the TOS era. Like, I've seen, like, these beautiful attempts by fans to render the Enterprise with lighting and texture to make it look, you know, adequately modern or whatever, and it looks wonderful, but for whatever reason, we're gonna, you know, Discovery's just, like, so different from what you expect visually. So that being said, I would love it if, like, there was, like, a reasonable kind of, like, to quote another show, timey-wimey explanation behind all the changes, and then you could just move forward and say, oh, that's the reason why. It's kind of like the Augment virus. What the Augment virus did for the way the Klingons look, there could be maybe something that explains in-universe, like, oh, this is now how the Prime timeline looks, and the reason why is this. So I have a feeling that there is going to be, I'm hoping rather, I should say, not have a feeling, that there is going to be some kind of, like, time travel slash dimensional aspect, since we've already, like, crossed that bridge with the Spore Drive come into play to kind of explain Discovery's departure from the expected.
I feel like that those hopes and dreams resurface every time we speculate.
That's
and
true.
Then every time you're just disappointed, but you do it again.
I do. I have go, but you have 7 seasons to fix it. So
yeah, potentially, like, 7 seasons.
Yeah, or however, or perhaps more. Discovery may be the show that lasts longer. One never knows. although I don't know how it's going to do against the Captain Picard show that's coming up,
which apparently, big announcement, is going to be an ongoing series, not a, like, a standalone miniseries.
Yes. Oh my gosh, look at how happy I am. I'm raising my arms.
So I don't know how they convinced him, but Sir Patrick Stewart is on board to play multiple seasons of
this
show.
Kidding?
That's insane.
Are you kidding? That, what do you mean, how they convinced him?
Well,
it's
money.
Very simple. It's just, well, no, not even that.
Maybe a wig.
You and the money. I would like my own vineyard in California. Yes, whatever you want, Mr. Stewart. Yes, Chateau Picard will come alive in the real... Actually, it is a real... There is a real Chateau Picard, guys.
Yeah, so that'll be ongoing, which is...
Nice.
Big news. Pretty awesome.
It's kind of like a lovely time to be around the planet, you know, for a Star Trek fan.
Yeah, it's just Star Trek. There's plenty of other things going wrong.
A very specific thing, but I think to speak to...
Sorry, that would try to be pessimistic.
But you've touched on something really important that we talked about in our last episode discussion, because we went off on a tangent as we're inclined to do, and I said, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if they directly attacked certain heads of state?
Oh god. And we did, we got a blonde Klingon, right?
like through, you know, through the show, and I was reminded by Sean that, like, Star Trek has always addressed these big kind of, like, political issues, but in a way that's very smart, because it doesn't, like, it won't ever get outdated, you know, like they don't get so specific as to, like, attack, like, let's say George W. Bush was never attacked during Enterprise's era specifically, you know, during TNG, like, George Bush the First was never, you know, was never specifically attacked. And I kind of like that, and I kind of hope Star Trek does that. Although they've already mentioned Elon Musk, so maybe there could be, like, a passing, mention of the dictator of America.
That was a reference. That was a reference for the youngins. That was, hey, you know, that was just a.
Rob can tell us what the English do to dictators. What happened to Oliver Cromwell? we're about to find out what Americans do to dictators. Anyways, that's the political portion of Starfleet Boys Star Trek trailer discussion. And now we're moving back to the trailer. We also get scenes of Saru, and I heard that the season's going to bring in Saru's home planet. And did you ever find out, Sean, what the planet is called?
I know what the planet is called, thanks to our great friend, Dan Gunther, over at at Kurtratz. But then I forget now that you tell me. Kaminar.
You think it would be something like Kelpia or something like that, but it's...
Well, it makes sense that it wouldn't be Kelpia because they're not the dominant species on the planet.
Maybe it's the Kaminans that are the
Kaminans are the bosses. Yeah, and like they breed them to eat them, so that's going to be an interesting thing when we go back to the home. Like, there's all these questions. Like, did
I'm not sure we're going to go to their home world in this season. I think going to their home world in the short trick that will be about Saru.
Yeah.
But then I'm not sure they're going to do that in Discovery itself. Then again, maybe, because, I mean, once you build the sets, might as well use them, right? But,
That's true.
I'm not sure. They've got a lot of ground to cover in this second season already without, you know, kind of weighing it down with a Saru backstory. So that's maybe why they want to keep it to a short trick kind of format.
The trailer in and of itself, just like on a technical level, is cut beautifully. The music's awesome. Like, it's very exciting. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm just like salivating to see a little bit, like, to see soon what the changes will be in the show. I mean, like, again, they're hinting at like some major changes in terms of like just the Klingons themselves. but even like, I think the format of the show is different now. Like, it's more widescreen than it was last season. That was one of the things that someone pointed out about the lighting. we have Gary's reaction for the season 2 trailer. He says, "Love with a capital L-O-V-E, every bit of it, and made me really excited about the show. I'm now counting the days for 17th of January," which is funny because in Europe they do the day before the month, so it's 1701.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that
it's 0117 here. Wait, let me finish this statement. Gary's statement. He goes, number one and the whole TOS Cage era edition, and also the fact that we are going to see more of the characters, it feels more and more Star Trek now. Yeah, like, it's not so, it is captain focused, but we know our characters a lot better now, I guess, is what he's saying. It's more of an ensemble. The Klingons are finally back in their glory. I mean, it's Burnham focused, but not captain.
Okay, so I was going to say something, and then he just completed his message by saying it feels more Star Trek. I think tonally there's been a shift in this season 2 trailer. I mean, the first teaser trailer that we got felt a lot like Discovery again, whereas I'm not looking for Discovery again, I'm looking for Star Trek. And this show, like this second trailer, has delivered both Discovery but in a Star Trek way. You get a captain with a crew, and they're out exploring on a mission, discovering something. I don't know, the lighting's better, it feels a lot more closer to home. And I think that's what it's not just the detail. Like, the D7 is great. The Klingons looking more like Klingons is awesome. I think they even fixed the USS Discovery. It's got shorter nacelles. It looks better. There's all of these details that, yeah, make the show more appealing to me. But it's not just that. I think tonally there's been a shift. As you say, there's more humor. Hopefully not too much Linus the Sneezing Saurian, but yeah. It really feels like they actually did listen to fans, and they course corrected some of what was not satisfying the audiences.
Can I put out a provocation? Potential provocation. So you're saying that they've put out more things to satisfy fans.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not a danger that if fans don't like something else, they'll just change it again? Now that you're saying that the Klingons look more Klingon, if fans don't like something else, they could just change that to satisfy fans.
I think if I may answer first, I think that it's always been happening in terms of TV. I mean, like, we're just seeing it in a different way. today, Rob, but like there were letter writing campaigns when something atrocious occurred in the old days. You know, like when they shot JR on Dallas, for example, that was like everyone went apeshit and wrote letters like, how could you get rid of this, like, how could you get rid of this, like, awesome character? Like, what are you doing? In fact, there was a similar, if I'm not mistaken, kind of outpouring from fans when Tasha died. People were like, what? You know, what? And if I'm not mistaken, the return of Spock himself in The Search for Spock was also a result of Leonard Nimoy kind of like feeling the, you know, like the weight of like, oh, this is a beloved character and, you know, I didn't want to play him anymore. But, you know, so I think that relationship has always been there. I just think that today it's just so apparent because on Twitter you can kind of see an aggregate of the mood, if you will, of a fandom and so on and so forth. So that's a relationship that was never there before. But otherwise, I think nothing's changed. Like, TV has always had a relationship with its audience. Let's stop calling them fans, right? Like, the audience is what they really have the relationship with. And that's who you do want to succeed with, because if you don't have an audience, you don't have a show. And that's all I
got to
say about that.
I think that regarding Discovery itself, I don't think that... Okay, so I have creative differences with the team that that are behind Discovery. I don't agree with all of what they do creatively. But I do have to say that they do stand their ground. And they don't seem to back down when hate comes in or when like there's heavy criticism.
Nor should they.
So I respect them for that. I mean, as much as I would like them to completely embrace my vision, I do respect them for saying, no, we're doing it this way because this is our vision. And I think like they didn't completely change the Klingons. They didn't take away their claws, which is what I would have taken off first. They gave them hair.
It's a subtle change that doesn't
change the canon of Klingons. I use canon loosely nowadays, to be honest. But
one of my biggest gripes about Star Trek in general is that why do all these aliens have human hands, like very human hands? Like, that's like been always like, why do Klingons not have claws or something else?
Because they were founded by the same species, Sahel.
I know.
There's an episode about that, Sahel.
But it's all explained. Have, like, it's not good enough.
And look at that red angel. That red angel doesn't have hands like us. Well, we don't know yet.
Yeah, that's true. No, we don't know yet. But I see what you're saying, and it's like, yeah, I think it's great that they don't, they can't go around being apologetic about their own work.
Had it been a different team, maybe I would have been scared about that, but not these guys. These guys look like they know what they're doing, they know where they're going with this, or at least they know where they're going with each separate season. And so they're not going to back down, they're not going to make too many concessions. I think they did the right amount of concessions with this. Because what it looks like for the D7, it doesn't look like an actual D7. It looks like a holographic representation of a D7. So I kind of feel like someone's presenting this new ship to the 24 houses. Like, hey, we could build this. This is a new model, a new design that I've got. And everyone would be looking at it like, hey, that looks pretty awesome. We should start building that instead of having our ugly ships.
What are we going to call it? We have this crappy ship that we're decommissioning called the D7. Why don't we just call it the D7? Yeah, I get it.
I think someone pointed out that technically it's the Katinga class model that they're using, because there was the D7 that they revamped for the movies when they put it out. They like detailed it.
Right.
And Discovery's using that one, which is essentially the same ship, just model, like it's got more details, which is a logical move.
Right.
You wouldn't expect Discovery to go all the way back to the original series.
But I mean, you know, barring that, there's also things like the red alert is wrong for the era. Like, there's just a lot of stuff, you know, like on Discovery that like you just begs question.
But then, see,
that's all.
The only problem I do have with the technology is like the use, like the heavy use of holograms, like holographic communications, because that just doesn't make sense continuity wise. Whereas like the red alert thing, that's fine for me, because if I go to your house, you might have a plasma screen TV, and if I go to Rob's house, he might have like an LCD. And if you
it's
come,
the same, but it's the same argument for the holograms. Like you
that's
know,
different because like, hologram. Okay, the holograms are broken, and we're going to talk about that. The hologram communications are broken. We're going to talk about that in the Short Treks discussion. They just don't know how to use them, and the only reason why they're using them is because they don't want to build a set or green screen a CG set behind someone on a view screen every time. That's the only reason why.
I don't know. we'll talk about that though. There's some Trexplanations that I've heard that are really good about that, you know. But let's jump, because we only have Rob for such a little time. Let's jump right into Runaway, into Short Treks. That was originally what we were going to get together and talk about. So let's spend a little time on Runaway. We start out with Tilly just... we start out with a scene in the hangar bay of the Discovery, and we see, you know, that after everyone's being escorted out by the... or let out by the computer to do a decontamination, standard decontamination, we get this, like, alien that's a stowaway in the cargo, and it cuts its hand, and you get, like... orange blood and, you know, whatever. So then you cut to Tilly, who's talking to her mom and having a bad time because her mom's not encouraging her to go into command school or command training. and so she's kind of bummed out. So she decides to go to the mess hall to have some coffee. Then all of a sudden things start to get a little weird while she's sitting down to have her coffee. She's, you know, like something's happening. The food replicators or synthesizers rather start spitting food out and all this stuff happens. And then she realizes, oh, there's like this other being inside the mess hall with her. So after like a kind of sort of scary, violent standoff, she establishes communications with the intruder and discovers that she is a Zahian, and that she's also a runaway, and her name, she names her Poe. I can't pronounce her full name at the moment.
I think that was done on purpose.
But Poe ends up being, you know, of high level, of high importance to Starfleet, and there's like a command, basically, like if you find her, to secure her, and so Poe, who is able to somehow manipulate technology through telekinesis or some other power or ability, I should say, rather. Actually, she'd be great on X-Men. she basically, like, you know, becomes friends with Tilly, and they have a pillow talk about her planet, which is a source of dilithium, and what was I going to say? I can't remember. Oh yeah, so then she discovers a way to incubate. That's why I can remember, because it was absurd to me a little bit. But she's an engineer or an inventor of some kind. She reveals that that's what she is, and she discovers a way to recrystallize dilithium. And Tilly goes crazy about that. But then she's like, well, that's going to change the world. It's going to change your whole planet. Like, and since you have this technology, you're the one who can, like, kind of decide, like, how it's utilized or whatever. And you know, the implication is that the planet's probably overmined, and, you know, there's probably a lot of, like, environmental impact from this. And so she's created this form of recrystallizing dilithium so that you wouldn't have to mine dilithium anymore, right? Anyways, so then she decides, okay, you're right, it's time to go back to my people. And so at the very end, when Tilly's transporting her away, she reveals that she's actually the queen of her people. And there's like a little moment of like, oh, wow. And then Tilly beams her out, you know, somewhere to probably the ship that carried the cargo, or maybe to her planet through transwarp
to the hull
beaming.
No one knows.
Or Captain Killy, actually, or it's actually Killy, and she beamed her into space and killed her, and we'll never know. But I think that covers the story. Does anyone have anything to add? And shall we begin our review with Rob?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, you're not going to get the heart-hitting stuff that we expect from an episode, I guess, just because of the fact that it's, 15 minutes long? Mm-hmm. But I like the fact it it reaffirms what we know about Tilly, builds on her character, you know, explores her kindness, her compassion, her sensitivity. We get lots of humour from her. Get to see Tilly's mother, who seems awful. I really liked it. I thought it was a really good episode, and I like the Poe character. I like the, you know, the stealth and the spikes when she gets like her own version of like Saru's defensive.
Oh, ganglia, thing. Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was good, a good start.
Did you? What would you have liked to have seen that you, or were there any in your mind missed opportunities on the episode, on the little webisode or minisode, short track?
The time constraints, I guess.
So maybe, you think that they could have explored it over a whole episode, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, but I guess maybe it could have been more focused on Tilly rather than, I mean, I really liked Poe, but I guess the more that time they spent on her, the less they spent on Tilly, even though it kind of was about Tilly. I liked it how it was. I really liked all the humour, the craziness in the mess hall. Tilly's bat chat to the replicator. That was really cool. That's it for me.
Awesome. So for me, I think that like it didn't work as well as that, even just because I didn't think that the story was, I think the story was like a little too rushed, or there wasn't enough backing information to kind of make it believable, because I know I'm like a nitpicker, but it's like I just found it hard to believe that the computer didn't detect an invader. Like, you know, an intruder.
But remember, in TNG, a few Ferengi took over.
I know. I 100% agree with you. It's all per convenience. And there, and like the more, when I saw it a couple of times, I thought, well, you know, she's smart enough where she might have manipulated the computer into not, you know, giving off the error. And they explain that with her like sort of ability to control technology. But even still, like, just, you know, and then Tilly deciding not to report it, like, I guess, like,
it's treason, isn't it?
Well, no, but it's like
she deserves,
just,
she should be court-martialed
like
for what she did. Sorry, Tilly.
But barring the intruder alert thing, and you can also guess that like the alien also blacked out the cameras, it's like I just can't believe no one on the bridge noticed, like, oh, these cameras are blacking out, and like the sequel, you know, there's just like it was unbelievable to me that Tilly could have this alone time with this alien, even though she's cloaked. I mean, like, she is invisible, it's true. I don't know. I guess that like, despite the efforts to convince us that this is something that is plausible, I wasn't truly convinced. But other than that, like, just on like everything, every other point, I do agree with what you were saying, Robin. I am silly for Tilly, and I do think she's like one of the best characters on Star Trek Discovery from season one, a standout character, and I do like the performance that Mary Wiseman gave. So I do think that like on those like kind of like very granular sort of like levels, the episode was a success in that regard, is to show off more of this talented actress as well as this character. So yeah, there is value in that for sure. We're waiting for you, Sean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really am. I thought it was shit.
Don't hold back.
I'm sorry. I really am. It's just I really tried to like it, and okay, I'm not the biggest fan of Discovery Season 1, though I do find like I find things that I enjoy and I find things that I don't like. But these short tricks was something that I was really waiting for. I was like, okay, so this one was the one that I was the like least hype for, because I'm not silly for Tilly. But I was still expecting something kind of, I don't know, something more. The story to me is just, as you say, not really believable, and it's not really interesting. It also has no impact whatsoever on like any of the rest of Star Trek apart from breaking canon. because they actually invent the technology she invents later on. And then there's just so many plot holes and so many problems in the execution of the episode that that overpowers the fact, like, the small good that you could find in the story. It made no sense. I didn't think the performances were that good. I mean, I think that Mary Wiseman is a good actor. It's just like this isn't the kind of Mary Wiseman that I want to see. I don't know.
I think that was also kind of a little bit odd, is that, like, I get that, like, the recrystallizing dilithium is, like, a solution to, like, an environmental problem. It'd be the same as, like, if we could, like, I don't know. I don't know what it's the same as, but it's like...
There's a flaw with Discovery Season 1, which is they try to do things too big. They try to make things so important that it kind of... It's not logical that something so important and so big would happen. Like, why would, like, Starfleet doesn't lose 80% of their fleet, and then like the planet they attack with the dilithium, that how much is that? That's providing what, 70% to 60% of all of the Federation. It's just stupid. it's beyond logic. And this is the same thing. You have a 15-minute episode that you could have really done something interesting with, like an alien and Tilly, and they're trying to. You could have just done a small story where Tilly is hiding this alien from the rest of the crew because they've become friends, and that's all you had to do. It would have been a nice, like, coming-of-age story where the two characters are young and they're learning to, like, understand their differences and kind of oppose the adults. But instead, they made it too big and too huge, and then it just doesn't make sense. This whole recrystallization, and then there's just every single scene has a problem that I can't accept. Like, as you say, it's awesome when she growls and she has the spikes and she's all very animal, but then the moment she turns on the universal translator, she becomes completely human, and then she stops being an animal in the first place. Like, she stops being an animal, and then it brings up the question, why was she acting so like enraged, and now she's so tame. It's almost a different species. It doesn't make sense. Like, the language barrier doesn't make me turn into a friggin' ape, right? It's weird. Everything is weird.
I had a live discussion with Text Trek, as well as PJ Mayer. Oh no, I'm sorry, I butchered your name. Anyways, we had it right after, and I think that was like something that everyone kind of harped on, was that, like, you know, what is the implication that they're trying to make with the recrystallization? Like, are they just trying to say, like, is it, you know, what is the point of that? So I agree, like, things like that could have been left out, and then you might have actually had a stronger episode, whereas, you know, I think in a short Trek, perhaps less is more, right?
And then she beams to somewhere where we don't know where it is, because they're light years away from her planet. She came in like a cargo container, and then Tilly beams her, like, and this is even putting aside the fact that no one is manning the transporter room for some reason. She can beam someone off the ship without having any kind of detection taking place. I don't know. It's just all weird. And then it really felt like they had the Discovery sets, but no actors in it. And it feels that way when you're watching the episode. There's just that one scene, right, where a few people come into the missile, scene, and right. Then that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't for me. I'm sure that Short Treks is a brilliant idea. I respect the idea. I think it's like a brand new format, something that we've never seen before, both in Star Trek and on television, to be honest.
I have a question for you guys. But where does it take place? Like, when does it take place? Is it meant to be after the events of episode one of Discovery, or of season two, or because there's no in between?
I think it's just,
like,
between the timelines. There's a photograph of Tilly and Burnham in the room.
Yeah.
So they're obviously already friends and roommates, but I think this is just between the seasons. But then it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it can't be, but it can't, can it be between, oh, so you're saying after episode one of season two, because season one leaves off with the Enterprise and Pike requesting permission to come aboard, basically. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay, like, so this might be the time between when they were awarded the medals at the end of the season and the time where Christopher Pike calls them. Like, there's a few weeks, so I don't know how long that happens.
So it's somewhere in season one, basically.
But then it depends, because if in season two we have a really strange Tilly, we have like a Tilly that's acting all weird because she's got that spore inside her, that it looks like they actually retract the friggin' tardigrade from her.
yeah, what the hell was that?
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that, that's right.
If she's acting all weird in season two, then this has to be before.
Okay. So it's that was unclear to me. There was no, like, establishment.
That's the least of my issues.
Well, but it's an issue.
To be honest.
It's a curiosity. I'd like to read Gary's take on Runaway. So he says, "Sweet little story, but it could have been better with more time. Plot was not convincing. Character story was lightly touched. Poe was just, well, I still don't know what to make of her. Overall, nice try, CBS, but no."
No!
Is that a cap lock? No?
It's a capital N-O with an exclamation mark.
Wow.
Full video on this will be out tomorrow. Oh, so, by the way, there will be a full reaction from Gary on his channel tomorrow. And have you done yours yet, Sean?
I haven't. I'm postponing my reaction, like my review for this to do my trailer reaction. I think the trip.
And when is that? When is that today? The trailer reaction?
No. I'm writing. I was supposed to be writing it as I speak. No.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll be writing it,
and then I'll try and release it as soon as possible. But you know, Baby on the Tube is time consuming. So.
And Rob, are you exclusively on Starfleet Boy? Or are you going to also talk about it, or have you talked about it anywhere else?
No, I don't think I have. Yep, I'm exclusive to you. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
We've got an exclusive. All right, so I guess we can rate the episode. And since it is a short trek, do you just want to do 1 through 5? Or or should we rate it on the full scale of 1 to 10?
I don't believe in 1 to 5 ratings. Regardless of the format, but
I don't believe in the no-win scenario. all right, so 1 to 10. I'll go first because no one trusts me. so my rating for this episode is a 2. It gets a 2 because of the Tilly stuff, but otherwise, I don't think I'll watch it ever again. Like, it's not something that I feel like was very revealing about. It did reveal to me anything more that I didn't already, you know, anything more about Tilly that I didn't already know. So I already know she's like an awesome character, and I'm already interested in her. So, you know, the relationship with her mother might have been like the closest thing to something new for her character.
But that was so cheap.
But,
wasn't it? They didn't even show the actress because they don't want to confirm the actor in case they actually bring in her mother in the series. It's so friggin' sad. Anyway.
Well, yeah, so that's what ruins that moment for me, is that we don't really get a strong connection with the mother because we never see her emote or, you know, perform, if you will. It's just a voice actor. But it is cool concept overall, and I'm fully endorsing and encouraging more short treks, because I do think that they are, the concept's just awesome, and so I don't mind seeing them in the season. I just wish this one was just more impactful as the very first one. Who's next?
Is it me? Is it Rob?
Do you want to end on a high? Or?
Let's end on a high.
Okay,
so
let's end
on a high. Go Sean, and then we'll go with Ross. That's awesome. I like that.
I also give it a 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the first time ever,
this is amazing.
We're like super alive.
I was alarmed. I was thinking, oh my god, he's gonna love this thing, and then I'm gonna have to defend the fact that it's terrible. No.
Well, I liked it. I liked it on the lower end of like the way low.
I thought like we had a nice, beautiful shot of the Discovery when it began, and I quite enjoyed that. And then the rating the 2 exists because it's like it's a short trick. And it's the first time we've seen a short trick, and so I can give it props for actually being something new. But then other than that, everything is wrong. Like the holographic communications technology is just flawed. I don't understand why her mother can see what's going on her desk, whereas we've never been able to see what's going on around other people with these holographic communications. We can only see the person, but she can see the desk.
Yeah, well, in the future, everyone has a implant, a virtual reality implant.
No, it's wrong. It's bad writing is what it is. That's what it is. It's in the present, and it's bad writing. Anyway, so no, it just didn't convince me. But I'm sure that there will be short treks that will be great. And I'm just happy to know that this kind of concept exists and that these creators are taking these kind of creative leaps and trying to do something else, trying to do something new. Often, the first time something is done, that first thing isn't perfect. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Two.
All right. Two. All right. Rob.
I will give it a 6.5.
Ooh.
Because, yeah, I love Tilly. I like the exploration of her relationship with her mother. I like all the humour. I like Poe's character. I think she's a great alien character. I liked her look, the whole stealth thing, the spikes. I like the exploration of the whole environmental thing and the impact on Poe's planet. I think I agree with what you're saying about it could have been better if they had more time and it was perhaps an episode rather than 15 minutes. So I would have given it more if it was an episode of Discovery as opposed to short treks. But no, overall, I really liked it.
Excellent. So 6.5 and two strong twos. We'll say to
that like a four. It's about 3.5.
A four. Let's just give it a four. Come on.
Oh God.
Come on. Just
give
it a four.
You're docking that half a point.
Just give it the four. Well, because the half that Rob gave it like makes it go back up. So 6.5 brings it to four. So that was wonderful. Any closing thoughts on the trailer, like, and any other things that you're excited about? Just in Star Trek in general. From all the news that's been coming out,
am I right in thinking? I think I heard somewhere or saw something on Twitter saying that there's not going to be a mid-season break, which I thought was quite good.
Oh yeah, that's also great. Yes,
but that was pretty much confirmed already when they said that this season's only 13 episodes. You can't do a season break with 13 episodes. That's just ridiculous. It kind of felt like
Doctor Who did it.
Oh, come on, Doctor Who, on
and
BBC.
It was ridiculous.
BBC are just confused with their release schedules. They make a show called Sherlock that has 3 episodes per season, right? And they're like an hour and a half. So I mean,
and you have to wait like 2 years.
And then you have to wait two years, unless they like now they're doing the MCU, which means you're gonna have to wait 6 years for the next season. So. No, the BBC are just different in the way they do things. But we're talking, there's like CBS is American television, so. But yeah, they did do the mid-season break because they had the 15. Now that we're having 13 season episodes, and I think they're going to keep a standard 13 for every season now, we shouldn't have mid-season breaks, which is awesome. But also, CBS have more Star Trek to give us, so they don't need to drag it out so much. They give us then like Short Treks, Discovery, maybe Short Treks again, Picard, Discovery.
Picard, Discovery. Yeah, it's gonna be great. And a
Starfleet Academy.
And apparently,
cartoon.
Yeah, the Starfleet Academy shows down the line. So who knows? Yeah, like I said, it's an exciting time to be a Star Trek fan or even an audience member. Well, this was supremely enjoyable to have you gentlemen on. Everyone, please check out Sean's channel, Trek on the Tube. We're all waiting for your videos about the trailer and Short Trek.
There's going to be a positive one, and there's going to be a negative one.
It was do what Rob does, like end on a high note. I like that. that's our new goal on Starfleet Boys, to always end on a high note. And then we want to thank Gary, who was here in Absentia. Thank you for taking the time to write in a little blurb about each of the things we were discussing today. And you can check him out on Trek on the Tube, and he's probably diligently working on his Doctor Who. Oh, I'm sorry. On Trekker Prize.
Come on, boy.
Yes, on Trekker. Thank you. On Trekker Prize, and we're gonna get his Doctor Who review, and I'm excited because Doctor Who starts tonight in America as well. So we're gonna watch that here in our household. And Trekkie Rob, who is the ringleader of the Star Trek book club. Check them out. And you guys are currently reading The Neverending Sacrifice?
We just finished that. We finished September. So we're reading... God, what are we reading for October? My mind's gone blank. It's the first Titan book.
Right on. Yeah. Very cool. So you're getting some information in your brains about post TNG Nemesis era.
That's right? Awesome. He's keeping it meta.
I love it. So and you can follow him on Twitter and check out the Trek Book Club. Do you guys have a website, right?
We don't have a website. Just on Twitter.
Just the Twitter.
Yeah.
Just on Twitter.
Yeah.
So the Star Trek Book Club on Twitter, which is, the handle is Trek Book Club, right?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Great. So yay, that's everyone here. And then Nick is off doing Ketwalski things. So go check him out on the real Ketwalski. We didn't have a full summit today, but I loved our summit, and I can't wait to see what's coming next. All right, live long and prosper, gentlemen.
Cheers.
See you next time.
See ya.
See you later.